RJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we'll have on what I'm going to tell you up front is a controversial issue. It's a biblical issue. However, it's a controversial issue. We're going to deal with the question today, the issue, what about mass baptisms? Let me repeat that. What about mass baptisms? Water baptisms? We're watching a phenomenon today that I've never seen in my lifetime. We're witnessing a phenomenon today that I believe comes out of PRIDE in pastors, with the mindset somehow, some way, we're going to have a contest to see who can baptize the largest number of people. This has been taking place for the past 2 or 3 years. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, is it possible for believers, for pastors, for churches to become so anxious, so hopeful, so ready, so interested in having large numbers, nickels and noses in our churches that will allow the human element to come into play, that we allow, ladies and gentlemen, control not being the work of the Holy Spirit, but being, if you please, planned out performance for the world and for the brag of the number of baptisms? We're going to be talking about that today. We'll be looking at some absolute articles in relationship to it. But listen, I want to be up front with you. I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What do you think? What is your opinion in relationship to the mass baptisms? We just recently had one at Jacksonville Beach here in our city. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to look at it a moment. I'm not going to call any names, but I'm going to talk about it because it fits into the category of what is taking place. But let me just simply say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that concerns me, that brings about consternation in relationship to these push, the push that we're seeing for the number of water baptisms, I'm looking at an article that says, in 2025, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints reported an historic increase with 385,490 baptisms, making it the highest number in nearly 20 years. And of course, in Latter-day Saints, Mormonism, baptism means salvation. Is that what we're witnessing today, those that are baptized with connoting salvation? I hope not, but I believe there's a number of people today that's walked through the baptismal waters believing that washed away sins and made them ready for heaven. I'd love to hear from you. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth in John 17:17, but then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a comforting thought. To understand, to realize that God's truth remains forever. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And in the massive research article, it says the three major areas where there's a lack of truth found in the media, in government, and in academia. And we find that to be so, so true today. In fact, this article reads, and there's no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it's simply a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or there is no such thing as absolute truth. The younger generation today, and I pray that I'm not talking about you as a listener, but according to the survey of a little over a year ago, says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article starts out this way. According to Webster's Dictionary, truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being, in the case, the facts. But yet 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we'll learn the truth. And by the way, if Jesus says, I am truth, the Bible is the truth book, the source book for truth. We need to learn it, live it, love it, and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295 Beltway. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, again, let me repeat a couple of statements and then introduce our speakers, our guests, those that's going to have dialogue with me around the table today about this issue. What about mass baptism? I believe there's an unspoken statement being stated by the baptisms and the, if you please, the brag about the numbers. I believe there's a mindset that says we're talking about people that's just getting saved. Well, my position is, and we'll repeat this during the course of the broadcast, listen. If we're in an era when we're finding churches closing, when we find church attendance down more than the history of the New Testament church, where we're finding the fall away, the apostasy, where we're finding major, major denominations that, and I'll read an article in a moment, one major denomination says they're having the lowest attendance in 50 years, but the highest number of baptisms this year. Did you hear what I said? The lowest attendance, but the highest number of baptisms. If a person is baptized, it should be after salvation. And we'll talk about that extensively today. And if that person is saved, he's not going to get baptized and fall out of the church. If that person is saved, he's not going to get baptized and say, I'm saved because I got baptized, etc., etc. I'm looking at an article that's reported by CBN News. On Pentecost Sunday, thousands of believers across the nation made a public declaration of their faith in what organizers say was the largest synchronized baptism event in American history. More than 26,000 people were baptized as part of Baptize America, an initiative involving over 650 churches. Further in the article, and I think that's what we're seeing right now, a unity around what we call and agree upon water baptism. A unity around and what we agree upon water baptism. What does that mean? This article further says, the event grew out of Baptize California, which began 2 years ago with 4,000 baptisms, and that has jumped to more than 6,000 baptisms per year in that one organization. And I'm looking at page after page of so-called testimonials from some of those that were baptized. And here's one that says, praise God, hallelujah, I'm now living for Jesus after I was baptized. What does that mean? One says, we baptized four yesterday in our church as a result of the push for baptism. One says, "What? How amazing. It is beautiful to see what God's done. I've been baptized." And I could go on and on and on. Now, I'm not making fun of it. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying that they're all lost people. But I'm asking the question for you, our listener, to analyze and let us hear from you. I'm thankful today, ladies and gentlemen, to have Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis around the table as we go or sit around the table and kind of bounce this around and talk about it. Dr. Davis, speak a few words of introduction to our listeners today.
Well, praise God for being here today, amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for, amen, inviting me to be in, as you do each week, to be a part, amen, of this broadcast, amen, as well as a part of the ministry team,
amen,
to be able to get the word of God out to not only the lost people, especially to them, because we want them to be saved, but also we want to educate the body of Christ,
yes,
as to what the word of God says. I mean, we need to know that, especially more now, we're living in critical times. And I have to believe in so many ways, as you were speaking about the mass baptisms, that Satan is competing with Christ for souls.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it by way of deception. So if we're not, you know, in the knowledge of what the word of God is saying,
mm-hmm,
and then if we are not obeying, that's key also,
mm-hmm,
then we're going to lose out to the competition, because people are not really wanting to know the truth. I mean, especially those out in the world right now.
Yes.
You know, they're looking for prosperity, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
A feel-good message, you
yes
know, motivational speaking and that kind of stuff like that. That might have a good place, you know, somewhere. It might fit in somewhere. But most of all, we want you to know that that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation.
Amen. That's right.
So let's make sure we understand, amen, what the word of God is saying today. Let's try to draw something from this, and I hope and pray that we can get everybody on track so that we can press forward into the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Dr. Phelps, a little brief introduction, and with that, respond to this question. Should we be concerned about this issue?
I'm so thankful for the privilege I have today to be involved in this discussion of a topic that should concern all of us who want to see the people of God do what is right and follow the teachings of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to church membership, when it comes to being baptized, when it comes to living for God. The Bible has so much to say to us today. I remember in my experience, after I was saved, then my pastor wanted me to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But his desire did not precede my desire. I desire to be baptized because it's the right thing to do. Baptism is the first step of obedience to everyone who believes on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By baptism, we give a testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Baptism by immersion in water will picture our position with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And one of the things that I'm convinced about is the Bible teaches us that we should be baptized, provided that we are believers. And so the question would come up, who should be baptized?
That's right. We'll talk about that in just a moment. That's good. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, let me touch base with you just again. Once again, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Should we embrace mass baptism? Question. Second question. Should we believe that mass baptism is indicative of all that were baptized had repented of sins and said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior? I'm looking at a little folder that we have in our church that Dr. Phelps had written for us. The title of it is Believing, Baptism, and Beyond. And listen, he starts out in the first page. Believe means that we hear the gospel of Christ, we receive it as truth. The gospel of Christ is God's invitation to everyone to turn to God from sin and trust in Jesus for salvation and everlasting life. I could go further in the folder, but ladies and gentlemen, my question is, my consternation is, my concerns are, the very fact that we're seeing this being pushed, is it possible that somehow, some way, there's a mindset in our churches, denominationally speaking, and with the personalities of the pastors, that we're going to win the race by saying that we have the largest number of baptisms? I'm looking at a headline, 2,500 plus people baptized during annual beach baptism at Jacksonville's Hannah Park. The number of participants jumped significantly from 2025's beach baptism event. This article reads, thousands of Christians took a new step in their faith journey Sunday, gathering together for a mass baptism event. The church, and I'll not call its name, held its annual beach baptism at Hannah Park and saw a significant increase in attendees. In 2025, nearly 2,000 people were baptized. This year, more than 2,500. Baptism, this response from the pastor of that church, was interviewed. This is what he said. Baptism is more than a moment. It's a step of obedience, a celebration of new life, a powerful reminder that you're made new in him, the church wrote on its social media. Now, I made a little note, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, on this article. My note is this. Did these people all make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ? And today, my question, dear pastor, are these actively involved in a local New Testament church? You see, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, it is my personal opinion, it is my personal conviction, it is my personal belief, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, that baptism is a factor after repentance, after salvation. Baptism is not, may I say that more boldly, is not salvation. Baptism is not salvation. And you recall, I read just a moment ago the article that says, in Mormonism, the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, 385,490 converts by baptism. Now, are we going to devolve in the Christian church to the level of counting baptisms as salvation? I believe that that's what we see happening. Let me read another headline, and then we'll dialogue on this question. Headline says, 2,552 baptized on Florida's beach. This is another article about the same event. Jesus Christ is still changing lives, the headline says. Awakening, a portion of this broadcast, Lake Point Church, wherever that is, reports 2,772 baptisms. Hundreds declared Jesus Lord. Jesus is Lord. Baptized California at Pirates Cove. 50,790 baptisms in a two-year period of time. Another article, headline says, hundreds born again and baptized in city after city after city in a tent revival schedule. The church, and it names the church, which has seen several massive baptisms over the past several years. Because baptism isn't what saves us, this pastor says. It's the outward sign of an inward spiritual reality. It's a symbol that we've been united with Jesus Christ. It is death to be raised to walk in newness of life, the church said. That's correct. But I want to see, did that happen? Before these 2,552 people walked through the watery graves of baptism, did they receive Christ? If not, Dr. Phelps, it is my most humble opinion that multitudes, yea, thousands, will think that somehow, some way, because I've been baptized, I'm saved, and I've got my ticket for heaven.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, if I heard what you just read, and if I understood it in the right context, and I believe I did, what was absent from his message was confession and repentance.
Yes, yes.
He did not say anything to those people about that. According to what you just read, he told them all about the good thing that happens, mm-hmm. about when you come to Christ, etc., etc. But what about the foundational part, the approach?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible tells us that we can't approach God all kinds of ways.
It's the prerequisite to baptism.
Amen. So I did not hear that, you know, in that speech.
The repentance.
Amen.
And the receiving. Dr. Phelps, what do you say?
Well, I should like to make a statement, and I hope you understand and receive it with the right spirit and heart. On the question, who should be baptized? Only believers should be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following. Only those who have a personal relationship with Christ, by faith, in him. And I'd like to back that up with a statement to show you why I said that. God's salvation does not take place in an unbelieving heart.
Mm-hmm.
Many, I hope it's not true, but I suspect that many of those who are being baptized are not saved.
That's right.
Down through the centuries, we've had church conflicts about baptism, because in some churches they baptize infants.
Mm-hmm.
In some churches they baptize those who've never been saved,
mm-hmm.
and the person being baptized is given the idea that that's how he gets saved.
Right.
Now, that's the problem.
That's what worries me. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Another vital subject that you're dealing with today. The reality is that we're looking at our culture. We're looking at, actually, the loss of freedom. We're looking at America in big trouble, to be taken over by the powers of dark. Islam, socialism, Marxism, the whole works of it. What we're looking at here now is exactly what's happening. The evil one, the powers of darkness, as you often quote with Jim Dimmitt about the only custodian of truth is the church. So if the evil one, if the powers of darkness going to have the way, which is that exactly what they're desperately working on, to destroy, bring down, is a fight against God and his word. We know spiritual warfare. So they have to, the attack is the truth. They have to destroy truth, and that means attacking the church, because the church is the custodian of truth, and they just confuse truth. The church is guilty of so much things now because of moving away from the truth of Jesus Christ. The church is not even preaching the gospel anymore, the word of God. Then, so apart from there, we have baptism, which will be taken, will be used by the powers of darkness to confuse and to hush up men into destruction, and also the Holy Communion. That is another thing. Everybody come, everybody is invited to communion. Getting well, you see how the enemy is working, use the latter days saints to show what mass baptism can be like. And now, instead of the church standing up firm on the Word of God and teaching the Scripture, the Bible, they decide to, because, as you say, the church losing membership, people going down. So desperation, numbers. So anything we can use now.
Lily, you're exactly right. If I could jump in, you're exactly right with what you're saying and what we see taking place. I believe is a demonic delusion that somehow, some way, as pastors see the numbers going down, as pastors recognize those that study the Word, the reality of what the Word of God says, the last days will be days of apostasy, and they decide, I believe, that we're going to counter that by our own ingenuity. And Lily, most people are not aware of the fact with John Calvin of Calvinism back in the 16th century had a young man come in and said, Mr. Calvin, I'm concerned if I'm saved. John Calvin looked at him and says, son, you've been baptized, haven't you? He said, yes, sir. He said, go get your baptismal certificate. That should be your reassurance that you're saved. There's somehow, some way, that mindset that I believe permeates much of Christendom, much of the church today, that ought not to be. That somehow, some way, if you get baptized, I watched one online. The pastor was preaching. Large sanctuary. Down front was large, looked like metal horse trough, watering troughs, and they were filled with water. And about 10, 15 minutes into the service, he says, everybody that wants to get baptized, stand up, line up, and walk through the baptismal waters. Everybody wanted to get baptized. And they're counting those. Look at the number of baptisms we've had. It's a prideful arrogance that I believe is a stench in the nostrils of God. I believe that it's causing multiplied hundreds of thousands, yea, if not millions, in America today to be deceived by Satan in doing good things like baptism, thinking that that's going to save them. And they're not being corrected by much of what's coming out of the pulpits today. Most pastors simply want the numbers, nickels, and noses at the risk of having people die and go to a devil's hell because they thought that baptism saved them. Lily, we've got others hanging on the line to talk, so thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. I believe Mark is on the line. Mark, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, hello, and thank you for having me on, Dr. Youngblood. I am a member of the church that did the beach baptism, and I really just wanted to speak up and clarify that it was preached repeatedly for weeks and months on end that one needed to repent and give their life over to Jesus Christ before, and I underline before, anyone should go and go through the baptismal waters or be part of beach baptism or in any way participate, including and up to the very last day before the beach baptism, when Pastor Joby actually stated, let me just say, if any of you are coming to this event because you're excited, because everybody else is doing it, because you've got goosebumps or any reason other than you have professed your faith in Jesus Christ, then don't. Do not do it.
Good for him. I commend him for that.
I do not want to help you lie to God by going through a baptism when you are not a believer. And let me say one more thing. It would take a willful intention to be a member of this church and hear what was preached about baptism and beach baptism and go through it without a profession of faith. One would have to disregard frequent and continuous admonitions that you needed to give your life to Jesus first.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, I'm glad to hear you say that. And my prayer is that what you're saying is correct. I'm not challenging that. But my prayer is that those that walked through the watery graves of baptism had, in fact, already made a profession of faith in Christ as Savior and will be found faithful in the study of the Word and in the admonition to impact others' lives with the gospel. Mark, our time is up for the top of the hour news. But thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkestone. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CQ, Jacksonville.